Hello and welcome to Conversations from the Adoption and Fostering podcast. In our conversations, we look at adoption from different perspectives. And in this episode, Laura shares her recent experience of becoming a parent via adoption. Laura is frank and honest, having chosen to adopt with her husband through a voluntary adoption agency, and tells us some of the issues that they've had to overcome to ultimately adopt their child. This is Laura's story and her reflections on it, and we would remind listeners that the conversation can be emotive, reflective and insightful, and may not reflect the story of others who have experience of becoming adoptive parents. If you've a story of care or adoption and would like to share your perspective or experience, then please do direct message us through any of our social media platforms. So I'm joined by Laura. Hi, Laura.
Hello.
So Laura's joining us tonight to have a conversation about her journey through adoption. So do you want to just give us a quick introduction, Laura, and tell us, well, who you are, what your family is, and how it's come to be?
Yeah, of course. Hi, I'm Laura. I'm 33, and I live in Scotland. And myself and my husband adopted our now son last September. He came to live with us, so he's only been home for 10 months, so it's fairly early days from us. We came to adoption, like a lot of adopters, via infertility, but we did have a few links to adoption as well. So although we did try to have a birth child, adoption wasn't necessarily a last choice for us. It was something we'd always talked about and considered. My husband, he actually has a sister who was adopted out of the family. So she was put up for adoption before he was born. So he grew up knowing that, and adoption was always very open and talked about in his household. So it was something, I guess, he had always really thought about and been brought up knowing about. So I guess that brought us to talking about adoption naturally anyway. And when it didn't happen for us in the traditional way, it was just an obvious route for us to go down.
Yeah, that's quite interesting actually, because a lot of people feel like that. If it's within their kind of network, then sometimes that's more, not more important than kind of having a natural child, but you know, it comes before, or it comes within the kind of IVF discussions as well. Was that the case for you guys?
Yeah, so our infertility was unexplained. So we did have one appointment at a fertility clinic, not because we wanted to pursue IVF, but I guess we just wanted to know if there was a problem that could be fixed, and it turned out there wasn't. They couldn't find any obvious reason why we couldn't have a birth child. The next stage for us probably would be to explore IVF, but it wasn't really a route we were interested in going down. Trying to conceive a child had taken a real toll on both of our mental health. We'd tried for around 2 years and it just wasn't happening. And we just didn't really want to go any further with that. I think by that point, we were already having conversations about adoption. Yeah. And I think even when we went to that appointment, we'd pretty much already made our minds up that we weren't going to go for that. Yeah. So we decided just to go off on holiday and have a good think for it. And I guess grieve for that birth child we were never going to have. And while we were on holiday, I actually saw an advertisement for an information evening for a voluntary adoption agency, and so we signed up for it, and that's sort of what led us here.
If it's meant for you, as they say. So so you're on holiday, probably trying to get away from anything to do.
Yeah.
So what were the steps? Because obviously being in Scotland, it's slightly different from England. So talk us through the steps of, you know, making an application or even just kind of registering in Scotland to do stuff like that. Take us through that, because a lot of people won't know.
Yeah. So it is quite different to England. I believe in England you have your stage one, which is sort of gathering all your references, paperwork, etc. And then your stage two, which is your sort of home study part of it. So in Scotland, we don't have that. It's just all one big long process. So it is supposed to still take around the recommended time of 6 months. I think it was closer to around 18 months for us. So we had a pretty difficult journey. But the steps are generally, you find an agency. So in Scotland, you can either apply with your local authority, or there's, I think, four voluntary agencies. So straight away we decided we wanted to go with a voluntary agency. We did meet with our local authority, but we weren't that impressed, and the voluntary agency seemed like they had much better after adoption support, which was something that we thought was really important. Mm-hmm. So you go along to an information evening, and then I think usually you have a sort of informal meeting with the agency, and if they are willing to take you forward, you're signed up for a preparation group. And then after the preparation group, you would complete your formal registration of interest, and then you would start your home study process. So that's roughly how it works up here.
Mm-hmm. Sounds very familiar to the old process in kind of England. So it's very, I'm sure it's familiar to some people, but obviously not kind of newer families. So in terms of the voluntary agency, the kind of process within that then is, again, sounds very familiar, but was there kind of anything that you noticed from meeting with the local authority and the voluntary adoption agency, with the exception of adoption support, that was very different? Or was it kind of almost identical in terms of, you know, social workers and meetings and things like that?
I think they were pretty similar in terms of the people we met with. They told us very similar things. Obviously, the major difference is your local authority have their own children's place, whereas the voluntary agency don't. So we knew we were going to have a much bigger pool of children, as it were. But that, you know, it might be a different type of child. So our local authority tends to place younger children. We weren't really interested in being matched with a baby, so that wasn't something that was that important to us. But I think people generally think voluntary agencies have harder to place children. I don't think that's always the case, but we knew that we were less likely to be matched with a child that was a straightforward case. That was in our mind a little bit, but it wasn't something that concerned us too much.
Yeah. So take us through your assessment of, not word for word, but you know, don't want to know all the ins and outs, but take us through your assessment. And because I know you've had, that's one of the reasons why you contacted us.
Yes. I think it's fair to say we had quite a difficult journey to approval. We first approached our agency in, it was November 17, so just before Christmas time we met with them. At that time, they didn't feel confident enough to put us through to a preparation course. The main reason for that was I've had some mental health issues in the past. Nothing major, pretty straightforward anxiety and depression that I'm sure a lot of adopters will have had in the past. But they felt like I needed to have a little more counselling. I'd also had quite a chaotic childhood myself. I was raised mainly by a grandparent for my teenage years, and I think they thought that adoption may trigger some of those feelings from my own childhood, so they wanted me to go away and have some counselling and deal with that, which was fine. I'd had some counselling before, but I was happy to do that and tick the boxes. So off I went. It took a while for the agency's medical advisor to feel confident enough that we were ready to move on. There was a lot of back and forth there. So we didn't get actually accepted onto a prep group until the August of the following year. So it took them quite a long time to write up their medical report, and we'd offered to have an early medical with our GP as well. So there was a lot of back and forth then. But finally they accepted, the counselling I'd had was sufficient, and they were happy for us to move on to the next stage. So we went to our prep group in August 2018, and shortly after that we were allocated our social worker and moved on to our home study phase. So that did take about 6 months, so we were ready to go to panel in April of last year, so that was 2019. So we went to panel and we were pretty confident, everything was looking good. We were quite happy with our Form F, which is the equivalent of the English part. So there wasn't any real concerns raised by our social worker. So we were pretty confident. We went to panel and we had a unanimous approval, which was great. But sadly, 2 weeks later, that was overturned by the agency decision maker, who decided not to approve us.
Oh.
Yes. So yeah, that was a real shock for us. Hmm.
Can you tell us why, or would you not feel comfortable saying that?
Yeah, no, I'm happy to talk about it. So they felt like there wasn't enough evidence, and that the paperwork that had been submitted wasn't thorough enough.
Right. Was that just generally across the Form F, or was that in a specific?
There was a few specific areas of feedback they'd given us, so there was a few areas they wanted to know a little bit more about. Mm-hmm. We've obviously never read one of these reports, so we, when we read it, you know, we were quite happy with it, but obviously the agency decision maker had some concerns. Mm-hmm. We were pretty gutted, to be honest, but our options were to walk away, or to do some further work and go back to panel. Mm-hmm. And that's what we did. We had some more sessions with our social worker. We delved into things a little deeper. Mm-hmm. And there was some amendments made to the paperwork, and we went back to panel in the June. And this time, luckily, we were approved and all signed off by the agency decision maker. So that was a big relief, but took a real toll on us at the time.
Yeah. Wow.
Yeah.
I can't think of anything worse at that point either. You know,
I think what made it worse for us, Scott, was that we were told at panel we were approved, and we weren't told it was overturned until 2 weeks later. Mm. In that interim 2 weeks, we had been given access to Linkmaker and had already started having conversations with our son's social worker. So we knew this little boy existed. Mm. We were having conversations with them. They liked us. We liked them. It was looking like it was going to go somewhere. And then overnight, that was all stopped. Mm-hmm. And I think when it's in the abstract and you're not thinking about specific children, it would have been easier to deal with. But because we knew of this little boy, that was pretty hard, because we knew at any point someone else could come and register interest in them, and that would be the end of that. Luckily, that didn't happen. And when we were approved for the second time, he hadn't found a family. His social workers were very much still interested in us, and we were linked pretty quickly. Mm-hmm. But as I'm sure you can understand, those couple of months when we were waiting to go back to panel were pretty hard, knowing that he was out there.
Yeah. So how long was that? Was that literally a couple of months between?
It was about 2 months. Yeah. So it was the April panel we'd went to originally, and then we went back to panel in the June.
Wow. You must have put your your life must have been. Oh, I don't even know what words I'd use to explain that. For those 2 months, you must have been even further anxious than you probably already were.
Yeah, I think had it been up to my husband, I think he would have walked away. I think by that point, he was ready to just give up. It had been such a long journey to get to that point. Mm. And then to have it, you know, you think you're approved and you start celebrating and you tell people, and then to have it taken away, it was pretty horrendous. Mm. And I think, to be honest, that's really impacted his relationship with our son, because I'm not sure he ever really quite got over that.
Right.
It had a big impact on us.
Yeah. So you went back to panel?
Yes.
That must have been nerve-wracking. God, I can't even. I mean, did you know, I think the thing, this is your story, I know, and I'm not trying to interrupt. This is where Al and I are very different when we do conversations, because I like to kind of reflect on these a little bit. Sometimes there's reasons for decisions, isn't there? You know, I mean, as an example, if you went to panel and it wasn't a unanimous decision and then it had to go to the ADM, and, you know, that's kind of a different way of working it. But when it comes to something like this, it's kind of like, you know, I mean, I don't know the ins and outs of your kind of, you know, the reasons for it, obviously. But, you know, even then, it's still really difficult. You know, you're obviously got a child now, which is great. But, you know, at the time, that must have been very hard. You must have wondered if it would ever happen, and you must have kind of questioned the whole process, the whole assessment.
Yeah, we did. Absolutely. I mean, as adopters, you always hear, oh, no, you wouldn't get taken to panel if you weren't ready for it. It's just a formality. It's a tick box exercise.
Yeah.
And I think I am living proof that that is not the case. I mean, you could be the most prepared adopter, but I guess the evidence has to has to demonstrate that. And in our case, the evidence just wasn't there for reasons I won't go into. But no, we got there in the end. And
you did get there in the end, and you'd seen this child on Linkmaker, and obviously you were then approved. I mean, so you were approved by the panel, unanimous again, I'm assuming?
Yes, we were.
Lots of questions, lots of doubts. So what was that process and that experience like the second time around, given what had happened the first time?
It was a bit strange, actually. So we had the same panel chair as the first time. So the agency deliberately wanted that it was just going to be more fair that way. But the rest of the panel was different. Mm-hmm. They obviously knew our story, and they'd had the feedback from the original ADM. So I think the panel probably felt quite sorry for us, to be honest. We really didn't get asked many questions at all the second time. We were really just asked, have you dealt with this process? And that was it. So we went in there and, we gave quite a big heartfelt speech. And, I remember my husband going in there and saying how well I'd dealt with everything that had happened and feeling really emotional at the time. Mm-hmm. And it was over very quickly. And, I think they just wanted to put us out of our misery. So I think very quickly the chair came back and told us we were approved. So it was, the second panel was pretty painless, but a weird experience being back there for a second time.
And then, obviously, given your first experience, you had to wait another 2 weeks for an ADM decision?
It wasn't 2 weeks this time, so they did speed it up a little bit for us. I think it was around 5 or 6 days the second time. So
Five or six days, you must have been on eggshells and tenterhooks all through those 5 days, surely.
Yeah, I mean, we knew it was really, we'd have to be very unlucky for it to happen twice. But yeah, absolutely. Once that's happened to you, I guess you have so much doubt in the process. So I remember it being a pretty nerve-wracking, horrible time waiting for the phone to ring.
Yeah.
And then when we were told the news that it had all been signed off, I think, I do remember just feeling quite numb. We didn't really feel like we wanted to celebrate because we'd had that celebration before.
Yeah.
So it was a really strange time.
Yeah. And I think that's quite common actually anyway, isn't it? You know, a lot of people feel like they get through these phases and stages, but actually they're still kind of waiting and still kind of in that kind of limbo land without actually, you know, that's like finding out you're pregnant. I guess I don't know because I've never been pregnant, but you know what I'm saying, that it's just like there's stages to that as well, but you've still not got what you're trying to achieve, I guess. So tell me about your husband and all this, because you mentioned that the process took its toll on him. I mean, what was he, you know, you said how he felt about how he kind of described how you dealt with the process. How had he dealt with that kind of 2 weeks and then going back to Pam?
He took it really hard. I think he was ready to walk away once we'd been told that the approval had been rescinded. I think he was just ready to give up at that point. Mm. I think had it not been for me, he would have walked away. But I felt like we had come this far. You know, what's another couple of months? But he was very bitter about the whole situation. And I'm not sure he's ever completely forgiven our agency for it. They've given us a lot of post-adoption support, which has been great, but I think he's found it really hard to get over that. It did result in him becoming quite depressed. And because we were then linked very quickly after that, I guess he didn't really have time to sort of get over that. So that did have an impact on our placement with our son, because I don't think he was in the best place. Going into that.
Hmm. Interesting. So you find your son, you talk to social workers. Tell us about that story, that process, I guess, that story. That part of your story, should I say.
So we were given access to Linkmaker, and we found our son's profile on there. Our son was 2 at the time. He had been with the same foster carer since birth. And there were no major concerns. He had global developmental delay, which again I think is it's fairly common with adopted children, but there was nothing that we didn't think we could cope with. So in that sort of first couple of weeks we were having conversations with his social worker, that was all halted up obviously after we were told we hadn't been approved. But our social worker was still speaking to their social worker in the background, which we didn't really know about at the time. So as soon as we were approved the second time around, we were asked if we were still interested in this little boy and that they wanted to meet us. So we were literally told about this the day of the second panel. So it was straight from panel into this linking. And we were actually asked if we wanted to meet him at an activity day he had been signed up for. So we hadn't been to an activity day before. This was all completely new to us. And you know, he was also 200 miles away. So we were, we were signed up for this activity day. And so a couple of weeks later, off we went, 200 miles down the road to meet our potential son, which was a really strange experience. I think an activity day is a pretty strange experience anyway, but when you're going there with a child in mind, this little person walks in and he was so tiny, and I just, I'll never forget looking at him for the first time thinking, oh my goodness, you could be my son. And it was very strange indeed. But we got to spend a bit of time with him and his foster carer, and it was amazing. We clicked straight away. He was very little. He had no idea what was going on. He just thought it was a big party. And yeah, we walked out that activity day, and I remember thinking to myself, I'm terrified to ask my husband what he thinks, because if he doesn't want to go ahead with this, I'll be heartbroken. I'm already absolutely falling for this little boy. But luckily we were both on the same page. So things happened pretty quickly after that. I think we went to the activity day on the Sunday, and we had a visit from his social worker and her boss on the Wednesday or Thursday of that week. And we were told at that meeting pretty much on the day that, that they were happy for us to go ahead and gave us a date for matching panel. So it all happened really, really quickly. So we went to matching panel in the, so this was the June, we went to matching panel at the start of August, and we started introductions at the end of August. So although it took us a long time to get to that point of being approved, the matching process for us was very quick indeed and pretty pain-free. And our son moved in with us last September.
That is quick. Considering the kind of blip you had there with the approval and stuff. So just going back a little bit, because we have talked about activity days on here before, but can you just talk us briefly through an activity day or your perception of an activity and what it was, what it looked like for those that may not know?
So we turned up, the activity day was held at a school, but it was on a weekend. And we were taken upstairs, all the adopters were gathered in a room, and we were given a little booklet with all the children's profiles in it to look at. So we arrived before the children did. We didn't bother obviously looking at any of the profiles because we were there to see a specific child. I think there was a theme, possibly Disney, so a lot of people were dressed up in costume. And then, so the children arrived about half an hour later than we did. So we went downstairs, the children were already playing, they had entertainment, they had sort of soft play set up, lots of different activities for the children to do. And yeah, it just felt like a big kids' party. It felt like going to a kid's birthday party. I think if you're going there and you don't have a child in mind and you're just trying to mix with lots of different children, I'd imagine it would be quite awkward. Yeah, it wasn't as strange as I expected, actually. I thought I was going to find it really emotional and really difficult, but they just looked like any other children. They just looked like they were having a good time. So I would definitely recommend activity days to people. I was probably quite dubious about them to start with, but I guess they worked for us, so
yeah. Well, exactly. Yeah. So So you get matched?
Yes.
You get to panel again?
Yes.
How did it feel that time? I'm asking you like that. Like, I know the answer to it, but, you know, off you go.
We were pretty terrified at matching panel because we'd had a bad experience. So we were, you know, really scared it was going to happen again. We knew it was very unlikely. And we were really prepared this time. And our son's social workers were also very on the ball. So all the paperwork was prepared really far in advance. We were pretty sure everything, all the I's were dotted. So we were as confident as we could be, but it was a really emotional day. We travelled down on the morning of it. It was quite a stressful journey as well.
She would have had to go to there to his to your son's.
Yes, we did.
Yeah.
I can't really remember much about it. It all sort of passed in a blur. But I remember them asking me, "What do you think is going to be the biggest challenge?" And saying, it's absolutely going to be this little boy's grief for leaving his foster carer.
Mm-hmm.
And it turned out that was absolutely the case for us. Right. Yes.
So, the panel were fine? They recommended you?
Yes, unanimous approval at panel again. And we had our ADM decision, I think, within a week. So that was all very straightforward this time around.
But I can't help but kind of focus on the anxiety you must have felt. You know, it's amazing how one experience can really just kind of set you up for the rest of them. You know, it's not my story, it's your story. But, you know, we had a very similar thing with our first panel. And you know, it wasn't that we got, that wasn't the same situation, but it was just like my husband was kind of, I just gave him a shovel in the end and said to keep on digging the hole because he just kept on digging a hole for himself. And then the next panel we went to, I felt exactly the same. And then, do you know what I mean? So it's kind of, it must have a knock-on effect to you to kind of go through this again and again and again. And then maybe not the panel, maybe you come away from the panel going, okay, well, that seemed promising, but then you've still got to wait on that decision at the end by that person who's got the same job title as the very first person who kind of knocked you for six.
Yes. Yeah, it was really hard. And I remember telling his social worker that I was really scared of that happening again and her trying to reassure me and saying, you know, we're really tight with the ADM. If she had any concerns, she would have came back before now. You have no worries at all. But I think I just lost faith in social workers by that point.
Yeah.
So it was really hard to trust her.
Yeah.
But she was right, and it was all fine that time.
Yeah. So you meet your son for the first time to go through the introductions of adoption. So tell us about that part. Tell us how that went.
So our introductions were pretty shambolic. So our son had lived with his foster carer since birth, and his foster carers weren't really used to caring for toddlers. They generally only cared for babies. And because of that, our son was absolutely not prepared for the move in the way he should have been. I don't want to go into too many specifics, but one of the big problems we had was the foster carer had family who had moved in 2 weeks before our introductions happened, so our son had already had been completely uprooted in those couple of weeks. He'd already had a huge change, and he now had these new people coming into his life, and he was absolutely confused. He didn't know what was going on. He was 2.5.
Mm-hmm.
Transition materials, for whatever reason, didn't get to him until a few days before. He just was not prepared for this move at all, and I think that's really resulted in a lot of big problems for us all, because he experienced real grief leaving them and really didn't sell with us at first. So the introductions were pretty hard for us. We kind of felt like the foster carers just wanted rid of him. They encouraged us to be out the house as much as possible. So we didn't really get to see much of his routine. we just felt like it was a complete shambles. Again, we had never been through this before, so we didn't really know what to expect. We didn't know that this wasn't what usually happens. It's only now, having, you know, read about other people's experiences, that I realised like how terrible ours was. So they lasted 10 days. We had five or six days at the foster carer's house, and then they came to stay in a hotel near our house for the last 3 days. And it was pretty clear from day one that my son was very rejecting towards me. He took to my husband really quickly, but from day one didn't really want anything to do with me. And we were just told, he just likes men, it's fine, don't worry about it. So I just gave him the space. I didn't think it was going to be a huge problem. But it became clearer as the weeks went on that it was a big problem. Mm-hmm. So that was really hard because, yeah, I waited years to become a mum, and you walk into this house and you're met with this angry little person that doesn't want you to be there. Mm-hmm. And it's really hard not to take that personally.
Yeah.
But on the whole, he took to my husband really well. Everyone felt like the introductions were going well, and they were happy for him to move. So, the day came, and the foster carers left, and we had a son. We had this angry little stranger living in our house, and it was bizarre.
That bit is bizarre, isn't it? How long did it take you to kind of... I guess there's a few kind of stages to that process, isn't there, of you bonding with a child that perhaps has bonded with one of you? And we hear that quite regularly from parents. But what was the first point you said, actually, do you know what, this is potentially not working? Who did you talk to about it? You know, what did you say? How did that kind of...
I think there's probably been three or four points over the course of our placement where we felt like we were in absolute crisis and this placement might not work out. Mm. And I think the first one of those was the first day that my husband went back to work.
Right.
So he's self-employed and he works from home. So he was around, but he went back to work, I think, after about 2 weeks. And that first day when he was upstairs working and I was downstairs looking after our son was hell. Mm. Our son had one major meltdown after another. He was extremely violent towards me. He threw a lamp at me. He kicked me, scratched me. It was horrendous. And this was completely at odds with the child we'd been told about. Everyone we met said our son was happy, loving, always had a smile on his face, really laid back, really easygoing. Mm-hmm. Expect absolutely no issues. And we're still not quite sure whether some information was withheld from us or if this was just all as a result of the trauma of another move and those transitions being so symbolic. I think a lot of it was grief.
Yeah.
But that first day when he went back to work, I did have a moment where I thought, what the hell have I done here? And I remember that night putting him to bed and just sitting really ugly crying for hours to my husband and saying, what have we done? We've made a huge mistake here. This child is not the child that we were told about. Mm-hmm. I think that was the first point where I thought, we're going to have real problems here.
Mm-hmm. So you mentioned there was three. Sorry. That's a bit nosy, but you know, what were the other two?
I can't remember the specifics now, but they've all been as a result of violence.
Right. Okay. Which was not experienced by the foster care. So.
That
you're aware of, anyway.
That we're aware of. We do suspect some information was withheld of us, but there's no way of proving that. So no, as far as we're concerned, this was all new behaviour. So there was a lot of violence towards us, primarily me. He has attacked my husband on occasion, but it has generally been directed towards me. Mm-hmm. And we've also had a lot of self-harm behaviours as well, which was awful to watch. It's horrible to see any child hurt themselves, but when you have a 2.5-year-old who's banging their head off the wooden furniture and hitting their face, it's just awful to watch. And it, again, that just wasn't something we expected, and we were absolutely not equipped to deal with that. So the instances where we have thought, you know, this could possibly break down have all been because of either violence towards us or violence towards himself. We had social workers out, you know, on Sunday mornings because we'd phoned them saying, we absolutely cannot cope, we need help right now. Yeah, there were times where I genuinely thought, I just don't know if this is going to work. But yeah, it did. I feel like we've turned a corner now, but it took us a long, long time to get there.
Yeah. And what helped you to turn the corner?
A few things. So we have had a lot of support from our agency. Despite trouble in the beginning, they have been really good since our son came home with us. So we've had access to therapy. We've had some sessions with an occupational therapist. So I think we feel a lot more equipped to deal with his behaviour. Mm-hmm. Those behaviours have gradually reduced over time as well. So mine and his attachment has really improved over time. But I think the biggest thing for us has been, as he's got a little bit older and his communication's improved, he's just been able to tell us what's wrong. I think a lot of his aggression came from frustration. He had a speech delay. He couldn't articulate what was going on. Mm-hmm. His development has came on in leaps and bounds. He's absolutely thrived since he came home. It's much easier to try and figure out what's going on now. We know him a little bit better and he knows us. And he's not a stranger anymore. And yeah, I think over time we've just felt like naturally things have got a little bit easier. We came into this thinking we were absolutely prepared. I mean, I don't think I could have been any more prepared in terms of reading books, listening to podcasts, blogs, documentaries. If there was something out there on adoption, I had read it. But I don't think anything truly prepares you for the realities of a 2.5-year-old who's showing that level of violence. And what we really needed was practical advice, and that was really hard to come by. We paint as therapeutically as we possibly can, but it's very difficult when the children are so young. So I think communication has been the absolute key for us. And as our son gets older and is able to communicate with us a little bit more, it just feels a lot easier. He seems a lot more settled.
Well, thankful for that. So how old is he now, sorry? Roughly?
He's 3 and a few months.
Okay, there you go. So 3 and a few months. Without kind of worrying you and thinking about the future too much, but you know, what would be your worries and stuff for the future with him? For your family kind of thing.
I think towards the tail end of last year, my worries would have been that the violence would continue, he would only get bigger and stronger, and we would have to deal with that on a day-to-day basis. I'm not as concerned about that now. We still do get that from time to time, but it's few and far between now. I feel like he's able to regulate himself a lot more, and we're able to help him regulate himself. I think my worry for him is how he'll cope as he gets older and he discovers parts of his story that are really difficult to deal with. I guess that's the worry with any adopted child. I mean, there's difficult conversations to be had. His is not an easy story, and I do worry that he might be triggered when we start having to have these difficult conversations. I don't worry for our family as much as we used to. I did at one point. I genuinely thought that this wouldn't work, but we've sent off our application to adopt him now. I don't think we were ready to do that until very recently.
Mm-hmm.
I think that you do need to reach a point where you are pretty confident that, that this is forever and you can meet this child's needs. And it took us a long time to get to that place, but mm-hmm. I feel we are there now.
Good, I think. So, and in terms of your agency, you've obviously, I wouldn't say turned a corner, but you've kind of been through every experience you could imagine with them, I guess.
Yeah.
Do you feel that they're there for you forever, whether whether you've got the adoption order or whether you don't? Do you feel like they're going to be there, standing by your side, ready to help, or do you kind of worry about them moving off into the sunset? Or do you want them to move off sunset?
Well, there are some times I think I just can't wait to never have to speak to a social worker ever again. But no, I'm pretty confident that that they'll be there if we need them. They do offer a lot of post-adoption support. And yeah, we had a tricky start with them, but when we really needed them, they were there. As I say, we've had social workers out over the weekend and the evening, calling us at all hours. When we really needed them, they were there.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, I think despite what happened to us in the initial stages, I probably would still recommend them.
Yeah, good. Laura, thank you very much for talking to me and telling your story to our listeners.
You're welcome.
I'm sure they'll come and I'm sure there'll be people who are going, yeah, and then people going, ooh. So, but thank you so much. It's everybody's story is individual, and yours is certainly that. So, thank you.
You're welcome. Thanks for having me.